Pita,
Pita,
Father,
Father,
Aham,
Aham,
I,
Asya,
Asya, of this, Jagataha, universe, Mata,
mother,
Tata, supporter,
Pitamaha,
grandfather,
Vedyam,
what is to be known,
Pavitram,
that which purifies,
Omkara,
the syllable Om, Rik, the Rig Veda, Sama, the Sama Veda, Yajuhu, the Yajur Veda,
Eva,
certainly,
Cha,
and. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajur Vedas. Purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word dhata means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandmother, and grandfather, etc. are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only toward Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step toward understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rik, and Atharva, the pranava or Omkar is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. Pitaham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha, vedyam pavitram omkara, riksama yajureva cha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is achintya bheda bhed tattva, the simultaneous oneness of everything with Krishna and difference of everything from Krishna. Usually, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the difference between the living being and Krishna. But here he speaks about the oneness. Abhed. Abhed means there's no difference. Abhed. Shakti, shakti matayor, abheda. There's no difference between the energetic and the energy. The example is the sun. There's no difference between the sun and the sunshine. We say the sun is in my room, but it doesn't mean that the sun planet is in my room. If the sun planet were in my room, I'd be dead. But the sunshine is in my room. But the presence of the sunshine is as good as the presence of the sun planet. The sun is present in my room by virtue of the sunshine. There's no difference between the two because there's no meaning to the sun planet without the sunshine and no meaning to the sunshine without the sun. The sunshine shares in the qualities of the sun. The sun is warm, the sunshine is warm. The sun is bright, the sunshine is bright. So the sunshine and the sun are indistinguishable. They're not separate. You can't separate the sun from the sunshine. So here also, the oneness of the living being with Krishna is stressed. Krishna is eternal, the living being is eternal. Krishna is blissful, the living being is also blissful. Krishna is full of knowledge, the living being is also full of knowledge. Krishna and the living entity are inseparable. This word angsha, Prabhupada translates as part and parcel. Our translators always want to know, what is part and parcel? What is the meaning of this part and parcel? Because you can't translate it part and parcel. It becomes meaningless in other languages. So what does it mean? It means an integral part, an inseparable part. Car engine, various parts are inseparable from the engine itself. You can't have, the piston is not independent. The piston is an inseparable part of the engine. Without pistons, you don't have an engine. Without spark plugs, for that matter, you don't have an engine. Without, I don't know what the other parts are, camshafts and this and that, whatever they are. They're all integral parts of the engine. They have no separate existence. If you have a piston lying around someplace, it's useless. It has to be operating within the context of the engine. Then it has meaning. And the engine also, if you take out all the parts, is meaningless. So, angsha means an integral part. Of course, vibhinamsha, there are two kinds of amsha, swamsha and vibhinamsha. Swamsha means the plenary expansions of Vishnu. That's another word people want to know, what is plenary? But fully empowered, like a plenary session of Congress, it has full power to act. So the plenary expansions of Krishna are like Balaram, Narayan, Sankarshan, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha. These are all angsha, swamsha. They're directly Krishna himself expanded in different forms, swamsha. They're plenary expansions of Vishnu, Krishna. And vibhinnamsha means the separated expansions. The separated expansions of the Lord. The living entities, ekam shena, stato jagat. There are the swamsha, and then there's the vibhinnamsha, dharyate jagato. Yayedam dharyate jagat. Those who are maintaining the world, or for whom the world is maintained, so that they can try to get sense gratification, or who are maintaining the whole world by their presence as living beings. Yayedam dharyate jagat, or who are exploiting the material energy. All of these separated living beings, or even in the spiritual world, the tiny part and parcel living beings are there as liberated souls. Kutastokshuramuchate. They're present as liberated souls. Mami vamsaju jiva bhuta jiva loke sanatana. Manakshastana indriyani prakatistani karshati. In the material world, we're struggling with the mind and senses, but in the spiritual world, we have no such struggle. That's our constitutional position, constitutional home. But in any case, liberated and conditioned, the living beings are also part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore non-different from Krishna. The finger is non-different from the hand, and the hand is non-different from the body. So there's oneness there. If I touch your finger, then I'm touching you. Huh? Or if your finger presses the button, you say, I press the button. It's not that we think about the finger separately. No, I didn't press the button. It was only my finger. Your Honor, I didn't pull the trigger. It was my finger. Send my finger to jail. There's no such excuse. The finger is integral, non-different from the whole body. But still, we can't say that the finger is the whole body. If you lost your finger, you lost your life. The finger is still a tiny part. It's a tiny part. Or if you need a glove, dress warmly, dear. All right, I'll put a little something around my finger. That's not sufficient. Although the finger is non-different from the body, it doesn't mean that if my finger has some covering, then my whole hand or my whole body is covered. They're simultaneously one and different. Non-different and different at the same time. Jiva chincha shakti bheda bheda prakash. So here the oneness again is emphasized. Pitaham asya jagato. I'm the father of the whole universe. The whole creation is coming from Krishna. So he's the father. And mata, dhata pitamaha. He's the father of the universe. He's also the father of the living being. Srila Prabhupada takes the comments here that our father, material father, is also a representation of Krishna. Anyone who has creative power is representing Krishna. So the father also represents Krishna. And mata, the mother, also represents Krishna. The entire prakriti, material nature, is also non-different from Krishna, Mother Nature. Therefore, those who are worshipping Mother Nature are indirectly worshipping Krishna. In Christianity, they have this creation theology. Yeah? And elsewhere, there's deep ecology and basically the same idea, or just pantheism, that the universe is God. The nature is God. Science is practically in the same school. That, yes, I believe in God. What do you mean I believe in God? Yes, the universe is God. Nature is God. So that's not what we mean by God. But still, it's a level of God realization. That nature is God. Yes, because nature is God's energy, so it's also non-different from God. So in that sense, by worshipping Mother Nature, we're also worshipping God. Or even these people, now goddess worship is a big deal. Not only now, it's since long, long time. So those who are worshipping Devi or the goddess in different ways, they're also worshipping Krishna. Indirectly. Indirectly, because the goddess is also Krishna's energy. Just as we say Radharani is also Krishna. So Radharani is also Krishna, and the material nature is the reflection of Srimati Radharani. Well, material nature is also not different from Krishna. Apart from Mother Nature, our own mother is also a representation of Krishna. Mata, Dhata, and Pitamaha. The grandfather, great-grandfather, grandmother, great everyone. Finally, Prabhupada says everyone, all the living beings, they're all Krishna. Everyone is a representation of Krishna. What is that? Aham Atma Guda Kesha. Where'd Prabhupada go? He's the one who knows all these verses. Aham Atma Guda Kesha, the 10th chapter. Sarva, let's see, something stitaha. Sarva Bhutashaya stitaha, I think so. Yeah. Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhutashaya stitaha. My dear Arjuna, I am the self situated in the heart of every living being. So, of course, the super soul is Krishna directly as the plenary expansion, but even the tiny living entity is also non-different from Krishna. Although he's tiny, still he's not separate from the Lord. Elsewhere, karshyantak shirirastam tan vidhyasura nishchayam. The demons who are torturing themselves with obstinate austerities are described as torturing themselves, torturing the supersoul. They're torturing the supersoul. Why? Because he's part of the living entity, is part and parcel of Krishna. Just like the if the child tortures himself, the parents feel pain. So the living entity is causing pain for the supersoul by torturing himself. Not that Krishna's feeling pain directly, but he's sorry to see that the living entity is in such a foolish condition of life that he's torturing himself and bringing suffering upon himself. Even Krishna's sorry to see it. Why? Because the living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. He's part and parcel of Krishna. So when the living entity is suffering, then Krishna feels also some unhappiness. Out of his compassion, he feels that this living entity is also my part and parcel. Amami vamsa jiva loke. But manashastan indriyani prakritistani kashi. How he's struggling and suffering. So all the living entities are non-different from Krishna. Then Vedyam, the goal of the Vedas is Krishna. The Prabhupada glosses it here. Whatever you're looking for in the Vedas is Krishna. Those who are looking for money, money is Krishna. Those who want to go to the heavenly planets are Krishna. Those who are searching for mystic powers are also non-different from Krishna. So everyone, therefore Krishna says, mama vart manu vartante, manusya partha sarvasya. Everyone's searching after me. Everyone's following me. But it doesn't mean that there's absolutely no difference. The pleasure that I get from money is not the same as the pleasure that I'll get from the personal association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, those who are following some Vedic principles, for even for satisfying their material desires, are coming closer to Krishna. Whatever knowledge you're looking for is finally a representation of Krishna. Krishna is all knowledge, absolute. So any knowledge is Krishna, but partially manifest. It's not that trigonometry is the perfection of knowledge, but knowledge is also a representation of Krishna. And when we come to the perfection of knowledge, that's the Supreme Personality of God. Vedaischa sarvar aham eva vedya. By studying all the Vedas, finally we have to come to the point of the Supreme Personality of God. Bahunam janmanam ante ganavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma siddhi. Finally one comes to the personal conception that Vasudev, the son of Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's everything. The difference is the difference between the part and the whole. The part and the whole are one, but the part and the whole are different. The whole finally is everything, and the part is only the part. Pavitram. Pavitram paramam pavan. Krishna is the supreme purifier. Therefore, when we come in touch with Krishna, we become purified. Asnaviram shudham apapavidham. In the Ishopanishad also it said that Krishna makes everything pure. Therefore, our practice, our sadhana, is to chant the holy name of Krishna. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, we come in touch with Krishna, and because the holy name is pure and purifying, we become purified by this spiritual contact. Pavitram paramam bhavan. And Omkar, pranava sarva vedeshu, in all the Vedas, this syllable Om represents Krishna. So to do any Vedic sacrifice, you have to chant Hare Krishna. Or Omkar. Omkar is indirectly Hare Krishna. So In any Vedic sacrifice, the mantras have to be chanted, and Om is always there. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Suraya. Even Om Namo Shivaya, any mantra, Om has to be there, and Om means Krishna. So Krishna says, in all the Vedic mantras, this Om is also me. But Om is the impersonal representation of Krishna, something like addressing Mr. Bush, Mr. President. Mr. President is impersonal. Bush is president one day, Nixon used to be president, Ford was president, Lincoln was president, Washington was president. They're all Mr. President. But George Bush is quite personal, like it or not. He's a person. So Krishna, or the Absolute Truth, is ultimately the personality of Godhead, with his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. So when we're chanting Om, ultimately we're seeking after Krishna, the Absolute Truth. But the impersonalist is in the beginning stage of God realization. In the intermediate stage, the worshippers of the Supersoul. And finally, in the highest stage, the devotees of the personality of Godhead. Riksama Yajureva Cha. The Vedas are also Krishna. This Bhagavad Gita is also none different from Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says anyone who's reading Bhagavad Gita is worshipping me by his intelligence. Because this Krishna and his message are non-different. Or Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, is non-different from Krishna himself. So finally the devotee realizes the presence of Krishna everywhere as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The advanced devotee, whatever he sees, moving or non-moving, he doesn't exactly see that thing. He sees Krishna. He doesn't go anywhere without seeing Krishna. So, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurulam. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
Raj, I'm wondering, there's a group that worships Radha.
There's a group that worships. We're also a group that worships Radha.
Okay. In Vrindavan, there's a group that says the mantra Radha, Krishna.
Of course, in Vrindavan, everyone worships Radharani.
Okay. What is the correct attitude?
That we're worshiping Radharani with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, in this mantra, we're addressing Radha and Krishna together. The Absolute Truth is complete in as energy and energetic. The energetic without the energy is incomplete. And the energy without the energetic is also incomplete. Those who are worshipping Krishna without Radharani are not as full in their understanding of the Absolute Truth. And those who are worshipping Radharani without Krishna, where's the question of worshipping Radharani? Because Radharani has no business other than Krishna. So worshipping Radharani separately is meaningless. And generally in Vrindavan they know this. So although the Brajbasis give even more importance to Radharani, because Radharani is even more merciful than Krishna. But they never think that Radharani is like an independent deity. Sometimes in Krishna's other forms, people make some mistake, just like they're worshipping Hanuman, as if Hanuman were a separate god. But he has no separate existence outside of the service of Lord Ramchandra. We never see that Hanuman has his own scene, his own pastimes that have nothing to do with Lord Ram. It's all wrapped up in devotional service to Lord Ramchandra. And still there are some people who are worshipping Hanuman as if Hanuman were, you know, the monkey god. He's a separate god somehow. That's meaningless. Or those who are worshipping Devi the goddess in any form, they're incomplete. Now these in the West also it's come worshiping some goddess, usually out of some material conception of life. And I'm a woman, she's a woman, so it's right for me to worship her. And maybe I'm also like non-different from her, and you know, in the bodily concept of life, these things are going on. But the goddess, Devi, is incomplete. Parvati is always there with Lord Shiva, and they're worshipped together as Shiva Parvati, or Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, Radha Krishna, the energy and the energetic together. So of course this is there with the demigods also, they're worshipped along with their consorts. But finally in the absolute truth, in the highest aspect, Radha and Krishna are worshipped together. And in the Kali Yuga, they're still more accessible in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Brishabhanu Sutta Yuta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nanda Sutta, Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, along with Brishabhanu Sutta, the daughter of Brishabhanu, Radharani. So Radha and Krishna combined appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dinahina yata chilo harinami udharina. They're uplifting the fallen souls. Everyone can take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya namne grotvishaya. He's Krishna, but in the mood of Radharani. Radharani is more merciful than Krishna, and she distributes devotional service. Krishna prema pradayata. Krishna doesn't give devotional service very easily. But in the mood of Srimati Radharani, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna prema pradayate. Pradayate means profusely distributing Krishna prema. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Radha and Krishna in two ways, as Radha Krishna and as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna, without going through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not understand Radha Krishna. And to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Sri Rupa Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Deva Gopal Bhatta, Dasa Raghunath, six Goswamis. Sri Rupa Goswami has given us that book, Nectar of Devotion, how to engage in devotional service. So, if we want to understand Radha Krishna, then we have to purify our consciousness by following the directions of the Goswamis under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master who's following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. Then we'll be able to understand Radha Krishna. Is that all right?
But somewhere there was a reference like Om Namah Shiva. The Om is Krishna. I think the way I grown up, like in India or somewhere I read up, the Om is like Omkara Bindu Sanyuktam. That's a 3 representation, of the three God, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. And it's a conjunction with a point, Bindu Sanyuktam. That's a feminine, or a female association. Like the Shiva and Parvati and Radha Krishna. So is that the only a Krishna?
Of course, so many interpretations are given of Om, Omkar. Especially in India, there's so many explanations. But here from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he's Omkar. And elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. I am Pranava, Omkar, in all the Vedas. So it's especially to be taken that Omkar is Krishna. Now Radha Krishna is also Krishna. So the Goswamis have explained the three letters of Omkar to represent Radha and Krishna. So it can be explained in so many ways. But finally, Om represents the absolute truth. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho. Om represents the absolute truth. So then the question comes, well, what is the absolute truth? That we have to come to. Then someone says Shiva is the absolute truth. Someone says Shiva Parvati is the absolute truth. Someone says, no, Nirakar Brahma is the absolute truth. Someone says that this, that, so many different ideas of the absolute truth. But finally, we can understand the absolute truth most perfectly from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedanta Sutra is an inquiry about the absolute truth. Tato Brahma Jigyasa. What is Brahma? What is the absolute truth? Then, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the same phrase is used, that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmad Yasya Yutonvaya Ditirachas Charateshu Abhigyasvara. Janmad Yasya Yata, in the Vedanta Sutra. What is the absolute truth? The absolute truth is Janmad Yasya, the source of everything. Janmadi Asya, from which everything comes. Then what is that source of everything? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavav. I am the source of everything. Mata Sarvam Pravartate. Everything comes from me. Iti Matva Bhajante Ma Buddha Bhava Samangita. Those who understand this engage in my devotional service with full-hearted concentration. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Everything comes from Krishna. He is the absolute truth. And above Krishna, what is there? Mata parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Above me? No, there's nothing above me. Then, therefore, the Bhagavatam says, satyam param dhimahi. That I meditate on the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna. So, for that, then, who is Shiva? Who is Parvati? They're the energies of Krishna. Aham adirhi devanam. In the Bhagavad Gita again. I am the source of all the devas. Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam jasarvasha. They're all coming from Krishna. So we can understand the absolute truth most directly from Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the sarva upanishado gavo, the essence of all the Upanishads. Is here in 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita. And all the schools of Vedic philosophy, practically, except Bhagavad Gita. All the Acharya, Shankaracharya, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhvacharya, they all accept Bhagavad Gita. And from the statements of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. So, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate course in understanding Krishna. So in this way, we should understand that, of course, people are chanting Om and they're meditating on Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. They're chanting Om, they're meditating on Nirakar Brahma. They're chanting Om, they're meditating on something else. But finally, Krishna says that whatever you're looking for, mamavart manuvart ante manusyapartas, everyone's looking for me, but they don't know that they're looking for me. They've stopped someplace along the way. At some one of my energies, and they're thinking, now this is everything. But Vasudeva Sarvamiti, finally Krishna is everything. So when we come to the point of understanding Krishna, then we have the most perfect understanding of Omkar. Is that okay? Yeah. Alright. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.